Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Our society has been desensitized to what the Bible calls the deceitfulness of sin. Sin never satisfies, and it steals, kills, and destroys. We must put on armor of light so that we can stand against the forces of darkness. In contrast, the Lord has said that His people will be satisfied with His goodness. Please open your Bible to Psalm 101, verse 3, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this Psalm of David. He poured out His
love, His forgiveness of sin. Let me read you seven things that you and I should hate. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning verse 16, we read, "These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him." Abomination, detestable. The Hebrew word is toeva, a tragic mistake. Things that are contrary to divine order or divine design. Notice at the top, a lying tongue. I hate it when people spread lies. Of course, that never happens in the body of Christ, does it? You know, half-truths are lies. That's why the Proverbs tell us that when someone comes to you with a story, they're probably going to present their case. Well, make sure you say, well, just sit right there and let me call the person you're talking about and get their side of the story. And then amazingly, they have a dentist appointment that they forgot about. How about hands that shed innocent blood? Abortion? A heart that devises wicked imaginations. That speaks of plotting evil in your heart towards others. I'm going to get them. Huh. Of course, you guys have never thought like that. Have you? Yeah. Like we want to practice the imprecatory psalms. Break the teeth, God. Get them. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. You know what that basically means? A troublemaker. There are people that have the gift of being a troublemaker. A false witness that speaks lies. And he who sows discord, strife, quarrels, division among brethren. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. We should hate these things. We should want no part of them. Things we should hate. Again, going back here, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Wow. Let's talk about that for a minute. David is determined here to not gaze with pleasure on that in which God has no pleasure. Now, he fell tragically with Bathsheba. And to overcome one sin, he committed another one. That's usually what happens. But our world and our nation has become desensitized with wicked things. Our nation has been desensitized with sexual immorality, pornography. Pornography years ago was primarily a male issue. Now the most current statistics say one out of three or four women deal with immorality and pornography. Now, I grew up when television was black and white. And I remember Ozzy and Harriet. Remember? How many of you remember Ozzy and Harriet? Oh, good old Ozzy and Harriet. They didn't even show them sleeping together. Leave it to Beaver. And then they would have the daytime programs. I didn't watch them, but they were like soap operas. You know why? Because they were homey, domestic programs that were meant to sell soap. Now, it's all filth. And what is daytime programming today and primetime programming today would have been porn when I was a little boy. And now it's like, well, at least they didn't show everything. Well, another biblical word. What the hell does that mean? I've said that twice now in 1 week. Okay, that's it. Our society is really has been desensitized by what the Bible calls the deceitfulness of sin. It deceives. It never satisfies. The Bible says, he that loveth silver will never be satisfied with silver. He that loveth pleasure will never be satisfied with pleasure. No. It always takes you further than you thought it would, and it steals and kills and destroys. I heard it said once that sin is insane and the world has gone mad. That's the planet that we're living in. And fighting against wicked and vile things is a full-time job. For you and for me. That's why God gives us the armor that I read about in Romans 13. It is called there the armor of light. We need to have on the armor of light to withstand the darkness, the forces of darkness. And like I said a moment ago, the failure to not set anything, any wicked thing before his eyes is exactly where David failed later in his life. But he was broken. He was crushed. And not only his life, but his household was never the same after that. He was a forgiven man. He loved the Lord. But there was that price that he had to pay. Why is it so important for us to take heed to the exhortation to not set any wicked thing before our eyes? Now, of course, the wicked things back then could have been, there were people that were going to the temple of God or going to synagogues, and then they had these little household shrines or pagan gods. And so they would go worship Jehovah, and then they would go home and just have these unbiblical relationship with these pagan gods, these idols. Why is it so important for us to take heed to not set any wicked thing before our eyes? Because there is something that is called the law of eyesight. You and I will become like that which we behold. Now, we can't walk around 24 hours a day like this. God gave us lids for a purpose. Don't close them when you're driving. But there are times when we can't tell people how to dress. We can't tell stores what things they can sell for magazines. And so that's where you just go, you have to. You have to. You become like what you behold. I believe that's one of the reasons why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, what? Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you and I seek to behold the Lord in all of His glory throughout the day, we're changed. He changes us. Metamorphoses. You see, you become like what you eat, you are. That was a phrase in my hippie days. You know, you become like what you eat. Thank God I didn't. But you become like what you look at, what you focus on. And the Bible tells us to set our affections on things above. And it's not easy in this world. We know it, right? It's not easy. But we must fight. We must determine to set no wicked things before our eyes. And again, going back to this hate, David said, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. David is determined neither to look with indifference on the sins of those around him, nor to permit their sins to rub off on him. So let me put that in contemporary language. David kept himself away from professing believers who turned back to the world and the old lifestyle. He doesn't hate them. He hated what they are doing. Saints, listen carefully. Scripture teaches that bad company corrupts good manners. A corrupt, carnal, flesh-driven Christian is more dangerous to your growth in grace and holiness than an unsaved sinner. Listen to what Paul wrote when he wrote to the church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother or a sister be a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do you not judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Someone professing to be a follower of Christ, and yet deliberately and repeatedly, without any repentance, living a lifestyle that is contrary to being a new creature in Christ. God says that's wicked. When Paul talked about the separated life in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? In other words, there is a separation. Now, let's remember that the unsaved are our mission field. We are to be reaching out to them. We are to be seeking to win them to Christ. Paul is saying that the professing believer who is living in a way that is not according to God's divine design. Now, you don't judge them. You just mark them. You go, well, wait a minute. They're dangerous. You see, because what they're going to do, they're going to try to pull you down. They're going to try to pull you back. They're going to try to cause you. They're going to justify everything that they're doing. And when you do go to them and speak to them in love, the first thing you're going to hear is the backslider's Bible cross-reference to Judges or to Matthew chapter 7. Don't judge me, bro. I'm not judging you. If I go to a stoplight and the light is flashing, I say, that's a flashing light. I'm not judging them. I'm not judging the full, you know. You just have to be very, very careful. We need to take heed to all of the scripture. David understood, and I hope you and I understood, Stan, that it's much easier to pull a person down than it is to lift them up after they've fallen. Iron sharpens iron. Goes on in verse 4, it says, a froward heart shall depart from me. Another I will not know a wicked person. The word froward means perverse, crooked, twisted. And David is determined that those who are corrupt in character and crooked in heart will be denied entrance into his court. Now he's going to his public life. Now he's talking about how his personal private convictions are going to shape his administration. In a really good commentary, The Song of Songs by Tim and Kathy Keller, he says, quote, the claims to be blameless in verses 2 and 3 and to not have nothing to do with evil in verse 4 are not pharisaical delusions of moral purity, but a king's desire for an uncorrupt administration. He just says, I want my administration to be clean. Whoso privily slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has a high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. So David declares that he would silence slanderers and not tolerate those that were proud and arrogant. In fact, in Psalm 140, David said, let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. John Corson writes this, quote, in a family, in an administration, in a church congregation, there will be those who want to slander others. If you're wise, like David, you'll cut it off. When someone comes with a negative word about another, give no ear to it. You pray. A high look, a haughty look, proud look. In other words, God hates pride. He hates pride. That's at the top of the list of things that he hates. It turns a worship leader, a cherubim, into a devil. David is speaking here now as a king. And as the king, he had the responsibility to punish or cut off those under his authority who did wrong. That's what government it's all about. Romans 13:4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Psalm 101, verse 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Can't you hear the Lord saying that from heaven as he looks down upon the planet? He says, when he returns a second time, will he find faith on this earth? He that walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. David wanted to surround himself with individuals who were faithful. David reasoned that men who were faithful to God would more than likely be faithful in serving God. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. It's like God is looking. Because, there they are. 500 Main Street. Nobody else knows what East Rochester is. Where it is. When he looks at you and I tonight, who's such a perfect mature. We're here because we want to be here. We're not here because, what are you doing tonight? I don't know. Nothing good on TV? Well, let's go to church. When church becomes a filler, an entertainment option, no good. No good. The Lord's eyes keep on roaming throughout the earth. He's looking for people whose hearts belong to him. Jesus tells us in Matthew 25 that when they separate the sheep from the goats, he's going to say to his sheep, well done, you good and faithful servants, you've been faithful over a little, and I'm going to bless you with much. Just be faithful with whatever God has given to you. The whole purpose of the parable of the talents is that it's meant to increase. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early, or it can read, morning by morning, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of Jerusalem. The KJV commentary writes this, quote, Jerusalem was to be the holy city, and the king resolved to make it so. Every nation ought to long for men of government who have the same resolve as King David. Morning by morning, because it was customary for the king to hear judicial cases early in the morning. And so at each and every sunrise, David said that it was his prayerful desire and it was his business to do what's right and put to silence those who loved wickedness, and in doing so, free God's people from their evil grip. Now, the thought occurred to me as I'm reading this about the portion of the kind of individuals David wanted in his administration. David said that in his court, in his administration, he did not want a slanderer, a haughty person, a deceiver, or a liar. Can you imagine if that was the litmus test for Washington? Can you imagine the Senate confirmation hearings? Okay, here we go. And just go through the Bible. Talk about draining the swamp. Washington, D.C. is spelled S-W-A-M-P. But David here, I really believe, nails it for us, doesn't he? How important it is that we determine to live in our private lives in such a way that glorifies and honors the Lord. You and I know that we can get ourselves in all kinds of trouble when we're all alone. When you have sovereign control over that remote or over that mouse. We have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very wise. We need the power of God's Spirit. And he's given us the power of God's Spirit. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, And I'm so thankful for this. The Bible says in Romans, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity," or at war with God. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh." He's writing to them. He goes, you're saved, but you still have to watch out. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. There it is. There's the power. I can't. I'm unable to. I'm powerless. But God, your Spirit will quicken me. And then he says, you're no debtor to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so, like David, we're going to go home to our house, aren't we? I'm going to walk within my house with a perfect way. I'm going to behave myself wisely. Like I said, we're all good. We come on Sunday, hey, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. Yes, you even pull into the parking lot decently. God has redeemed us. And as long as we dwell in this flesh, there's going to be a war. There's going to be a battle. Count on it. The Bible doesn't say if you are tempted. It says when. And we need to purpose before the next attack. How am I going to respond? If you don't determine how you're going to respond, you will react. And usually the reaction is a fleshly one. You eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you pay the price. Now there's forgiveness with God. But I love how David the king, when he went home, he was just David, the husband, David the dad, David the grandfather. And so this is for us tonight, guys. And we thank him for his word. Father, we once again are so humbled by how relevant your word is. You change not. And the world doesn't change. And our flesh doesn't change. And I pray that tonight your Spirit ministered hope, help, where need be, conviction unto repentance, that you would be glorified. Lord, you don't beat us over the head with a bat. It's your goodness that leads us to repentance. And may whatever you spoke to our heart tonight, whatever it is, Lord, may we look to the cross and realize the price that was paid to forgive us. Yes, but also to set us free and to put us on that right path of fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is tomorrow. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.